You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Let's in Gary Griffith. Let's let in Gary Griffith and get our topic of conversation. So I asked to speak to him today because I saw him put all this thing in his chat. Of course, he's always very vocal on things, Trinidad and Tobago. And he put all this in a response, I believe, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, of somebody who applied for an FUL. And it reads like this: in response to your application, well dated, for the grant of a provision of the FUL license to be trained in the use of a pistol for the purpose of personal protection. And this was the, of course, it will be signed by the Commissioner of Police, who is the one who grants the permission for you to get an FUL. This was the excuse for it not being approved, right? It was not approved due to the undermentioned factors. There is no evidence of threats against you. There is no evidence of you being a victim of a crime. And there is no evidence to suggest that you deal in large cash transactions. Now, if you're a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago living in these times and the government went on the, and with the government that was voted in, went on the campaign trail, it seems like, you know, we gain everything. People say, well, again, Mayor Fuel, you shouldn't have to be, you ought to be dealing in large transactions because they could be robbing you $100. Or evidence of you being a victim of a crime. I must have the way to actually be a victim of a crime, right? To actually want to be permitted an FUL, and evidence of threats against you. So we have on the line right now, Gary Griffith. So let's hear, what say you? You could correct me if I was wrong in anything I'm saying there. So, good afternoon.
Yeah, not at all. Good afternoon to you and to your many listeners. So the reason why I brought this, and you know, just let me quickly add, you know, many people will rush in there, also, oh, God, Gary, you retired, your time passed. The fact is, Brian Lara time has passed. If Brian Lara's talking about cricket, you'll tell him, shut up. Dwight York time has passed. He's no longer playing football. If he decides to give recommendations to improve Trinidad football, Barack Obama time passed. We should speak about politics. So for those haters, the fact of the matter is that the reason I do this is because of my love for my country.
You know what, German, yeah, center rep, yeah. Jump high, jump low. If you say no, who would you want to come back or put there at Commissioner of Police? Your name calling, right? Yeah, calling.
And I'm good where I am, happy retired. But the fact is, I have the capacity to be able to guide things that can actually assist in the development of Trinidad and Tobago, especially in security. So as it pertains to this matter, the situation with firearms has been going on for decades in Trinidad and Tobago because we have a colonial system where one person and one person alone becomes the sole and deciding factor to ascertain whether you need to get a firearm. So commissioners before me, from the Stephen Williams and the Philberts and the Hilton guys, after me, the McDonald Jacob, the Earl of Christopher, the Guevara, they all have the same concept that they are the more persons that get firearms, the more that it could be difficult for them if something goes wrong. So they rather not give. They usually give about 200 per annum, and that is why we have over 30,000 applicants right now waiting. And with all the common courtesy of a response, many of them take them to court, they win, and the taxpayers have to pay. So when I decided to change the process, it was not that the stupid comments made by persons, we are giving away firearms. I issued just about 4,000 firearms in 3 years, which is just about 1,300 odd firearms a year. And half of those were to law enforcement officials, police officers, fire officers, soldiers, sailors, immigration, customs, who, when they leave their duty, they go home and they're not protected. And also those who have left the service and they're still being targeted because of what they did. So, and in that 4,000, not one was lost, stolen, or used for a crime. In comparison to other commissioners before and after me, people lost their firearms, they pointed it at their wives, they used it for a crime because there was not a proper process and a structure. We put the structure. So now we've gone right back to the same old story where the excuse being used by this commissioner, and I am in a little war with the commissioners just to clarify the matter. He has put in something that is not in the law. There's nothing in the law that says you must be, there must be a threat to your life, that you must be carrying large sums of money. So what he is doing, he is making up his own policy, and you should not be doing that. The law is straightforward that if you have, there's a lot of things that you need to be eligible to have, a certificate of character, there's a background check, you check your financing, you get the approval from your spouse, all of these things. And if you have these things, then there should be no reason why the commissioner should not grant you. Commissioners before and after me, don't do it. even though the people have everything that is required, they do it because they feel that, well, there's no threat to your life. That is not right.
Yeah, so those things that you mentioned there, like certificate of good character, you check up on people and their spouse, those were some of the criteria when you were there. What were some of the other criteria when you were there to get a license?
I did a stringent approach. If it is that I saw that there's a situation where a husband would have beaten his wife, that there was a domestic violence report, you ain't getting a gun.
Right.
If it is that there's a report of you being involved in criminal offenses, you're not getting a firearm. So when this Joker Watchman actually did a, and he still has a tabanka because he was retiring as a corporal that I beat him in every single assessment when I applied for commissioner. He said that people were getting firearms with criminal offenses. That is a lie. Not one. Watchman, you are a liar. Not one person got a firearm with a criminal offense. If persons were involved in DUI, there are 3 and 4 reports of them involved in DUI. I'm not giving you a firearm. So, but other than that, I am not going to, if you have everything else and you say, well, no, there's no threat to your life and your life is not at risk and you're not carrying large sums of money. This is something that is made up by commissioners. And let me clarify quickly. People will now jump in to say, well, there's our laws are different to the United States. There's nothing that gives you the right to bear arms. Nobody is saying that you have a right to bear arms. But let me equate it quickly. This is similar, that stupid concept to justify not giving firearms to persons. It is similar to if I'm the transport commissioner and you do everything that is required within the law for you to be eligible to get a driver's permit. But I say to myself, you know what? Anybody over 60 must get a driver's permit now. Or if you're wearing glasses, you don't have a driver's. Because there's nothing in the law that mandates that you must have a driver's permit. It is no different. So whether you're a transport commissioner giving out driver's permits or a police commissioner giving out FULs, you have to adhere to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make up your own deliverables, your own restraints to justify why you're not giving it. And that is my point.
Yeah.
And finally, it is in total contrast to the policy of the government of Trinidad and Tobago as it pertains to Stand Your Ground. Kamala Prasad Bisesa was spot on when she spoke about the fact that if the state cannot protect you, by right now, you must have the capability to protect yourself.
And people are looking, have been looking forward to that. That is what people, know, one
so
of the issues we've been voting on.
Stand Your Ground when it is you gave out 200 firearms since you've become commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So when people said we gave out 0.05% to the population, 3,000 or 4,000 out of 1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 30,000 people applying still. The Stand Your Ground is for those 30,000. It's not that all 30,000 will get, but at least clear up the backlog. Based on what Rivero is doing, giving out 200 firearms a year out of 30,000, it's going to take, I think, just something like about 150 years before all 30,000 will even be acknowledged. So you have to wait. So if you're 30 years old, when you reach about 180 years old, thanks to the style of this commissioner, you will be acknowledged. I'm not saying that you will get a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
It is wrong. And it is in total contrast to the policies of the government. You can't stand your ground with a boomstick. You can't stand your ground with a pillow. The only way you can stand your ground to be able to protect your home, your family, your loved one, a small businessman, a farmer, is to have a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that, and I did the right thing. But because of dinosaurs who were in the previous PNM administration, they didn't want that. But they will send a list of them with 50 names for their friends in high places to get guns for.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was giving guns to farmers, to the small businessmen, they had a problem. They then lied to say that there was firearm corruption. Notice 4 years later, not one name called, not one firearm dealer, not one firearm owner, not one police officer, no one arrested, no one charged, no statement, no report. They were all lies.
Mm.
In my 4,000, there was not one incident or one report of firearm corruption. There have been several reports before and after me, and police officers have been charged for bribery.
Mm-hmm.
But during my period, there was none. But lo and behold, the commissioner had the audacity recently to say that there was a scandal.
And has there ever been any reports of somebody who's having a firearm where it was taken away from them and reused in some form of criminal activity?
No. If it's taken away from you, it is now secured. So it cannot be used in a criminal activity. They brought a good point, though. They've gone back to old-time policing. If you have your home, somebody breaks into your home, they're pointing a firearm at you. You use your firearm to protect yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm.
The person escapes or whatever. The police will then seize that firearm and take it indefinitely. So you have a firearm, you use it for the right reason, and it's then taken from you. In developed countries, non-banana republic countries, everything is taken and within 48 hours when the forensic testing is done, ballistic testing is done, the weapon is given back to you. They so want to get rid of law-abiding citizens having firearms. You use your firearm for the right purpose, they take it from you and they don't give you back, which makes it worse because You could have used your firearm to defend yourself from a gang member. You shoot the gang member. They take the firearm from you now. That's the police. And now you're defenseless, and the gang member might have other members now retaliate to target you. It makes no sense. The whole system has yet become flawed because Gary Griffith has left, and we've gone back to the outdated system of the only firearms being given is to friends in high places.
Oh, that's terrible. But the way out this thing is here, like I said, there is no evidence of threats against you. There is no evidence of being a victim of a crime. And there is no evidence that suggests that you deal with large sums of cash. Now, let's just say I'm a con artist and I go and I con in people all their money. And let's just say somebody wants to come after me. Well, a con artist who, you know, will be dealing in lots of cash because I'm robbing people their money. So I will have lots of cash on me. There may be evidence of me being a victim of a crime because somebody who owe money or take the money might want to come and threaten me and put a threat against me. So therefore, with the way of this is here, I mean, I'm a con artist doing the wrong thing, taking people money. I could be eligible to get my FUL.
Yeah, definitely. Or you're a gang member and you're sure that there are threats to your life because you're involved in criminal activity, and you're correct. So, but those 3 points by this commissioner, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I can challenge anyone, anytime, debate with me on it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the law. He can make up things to justify finding excuses not to give you a firearm. And that's what I did. It's not that I gave out a firearm to each and every person who applied. I rejected many because as I said, you're always intoxicated. You had a criminal record. You have domestic violence reports. And your wife doesn't want to sign it. I reject it. But if you have everything that is required, we do the background check, we do due diligence, we speak to your family, your friends, we check your financial accounts, we psychometric testing, your wife approves. I have no reason to deny you. And that's who I was giving the firearms to. And when I did those checks, that's why not one was lost, not one was stolen, not one was used for a crime. In fact, dozens of lives were saved because of what I did. And therein lies the problem. Because this commissioner's view is similar to Ulla Christopher, Jacob, Stephen Williams, Filbert, Hilton Guy, all of them going all the way back. They have a problem with the law. The law gives you the authority to give the firearms if they adhere to all the policies. You are now making up your own policy to justify not giving persons firearms. And what these persons could very well do is go to the appeal board and they will say there's nothing in the law that says that I must have large sums of money, that there must be a threat to my life. Right. Let me also add that ridiculous concept that there's a threat to your life. By the time someone is aware that there's a threat to their life, they will be dead.
Yeah, true. And in these times.
Yeah, in these times, because that is when it says you need that firearm. Mm. So again, what more important, it is in total contrast to the policies of the government of Trinidad and Tobago. You can't have a stand your ground legislation and no one has a firearm.
All right, well, since this was a policy, an anti-policy of the government of Trinidad and Tobago, who has the power to go to the commissioner of police now and say, listen, can we revisit this or something? Or you had to wait till maybe there's somebody who good with the government and call somebody and say, listen, I can't get my firearm. You went on the platform and talked, stand your ground, this and all of that. I expect to get my thing. Who has the power to go to the commissioner of police and say, well, you know, this is wrong? Or come out like you're doing?
And the commissioner might very well run them, because that's what happened. Even when I was issuing firearms, the hypocrisy of the PNM government, we had ministers coming to me, harassing me for 15 firearms for their friends in high places. But when I give out firearms to businessmen and farmers, they had a problem with it. And in this situation, only the commissioner has the authority. It is a colonial law. It is very outdated. And unless you get commissioners like Gary Griffith, which is going to be very rare, where it is, I think, out of the box, and I realize the more firearms for the law-abiding citizens, the better it is for us to take down the criminal elements, to neutralize them, to protect the citizens, because we can't get to respond to your distress call if someone jumps over your wall in time. And because of that, the law has to be changed. The only way the government is going to be able to adhere to the policy of ensuring that the right people get firearms is to change this colonial law of one person being the sole person to have a deciding factor. Because you're not going to get Gary Griffiths in as commissioners of police in the near future. You're going to keep getting Guevara's, McDonald Jacobs, Stephen Williams, who are reluctant to give firearms. And the government cannot order the commissioner of police. They cannot pressure him. He might very well be reluctant, and instead of 200, he gives out 300. No, because he's being pressured. Because this minister's brother asks for one, or this person. That's not how it works. I recommend that there must be a committee involving one person representing the firearm dealers, one person representing the police service, one person's heavily trained in firearm training, and have a proper system to make sure that when applicants come in, it, due diligence is done, checks are done, and also the Commissioner of Police should be part of it as well. And then with a committee, it is going to take away any element of possible corruption. It is going to take away any Commissioner of Police preventing the government from adhering to the policy of the right to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And unless that is changed, having this one person be the deciding factor, it is unfortunate that the opposition is attacking the government heavily, stating, look at that, you're called stand your ground, and they still have murders. Mm-hmm. The reason being is that the people, the citizens, cannot stand your ground if I don't have a firearm. So attacking the policy and the legislation of the government to show that it is not working. It is no fault of the government, but it's the fault of the commissioner not adhering to ensure he can implement the policies established by the government by issuing firearms.
What would you say to people who say, well, I mean, this is the only way we could fight crime, with fighting fire with fire, giving people more firearms? We already have firearms out there on the streets, illegal firearms. Why can't we find, you know, where these illegal firearms are coming from? Why can't the police do what they're supposed to do? Lock up people, think whatever it is, and instead of giving people more firearms again to defend themselves.
Well, and they're correct. I'll agree with them. But until that happens, until that happens, you have to give persons the right to defend themselves if the state is unable to protect them. The state cannot. Right now, for this year, I think, what, close to 90 murders in 3 months. Do the maths, that's 30 a month, by, so that's 360 to 380 murders. Not bad, right? Not bad. So by the end of March, it could be 90. My last year, but this is because of a state of emergency. My last year's August 2020 to August 2021. We had no state of emergency that gave me the authority to do what caused a state of emergency to reduce crime. Lock up all the bad people without evidence, keep them in the cell. Lock up all the shooters, all the gang members, all the gang leaders, all the child molesters, all the kidnappers, all the rapists. Lock them all up so that there will be no crime. I didn't have that. And still we had less murders than the whole of last year, where it is that they had the authorization to go outside the constitutional rights of the average citizen. So it means that until we could get back there, the citizens must have a right to bear arms. They must have a right to defend themselves after the proper checks and balances are done. If we reach that point that with the police and the law enforcement can now take control of the country, similar to the last time we had that would have been 2000 under the Pandey administration with less than 100 murders, then there's no need to issue firearms. But until then, we have a situation where it is easier for a criminal element to get firearms than for somebody to get a driver's permit. So you need to, because the amount of work you have to go through to get a driver's permit, which is legitimate, criminals getting firearms, illegal firearms on the street like nothing. So you as a businessman, a small businessman, somebody wants to protect your house, your home, your family, your a farmer, your crops, your livestock, they need firearms because the police cannot respond. Under my watch, we had a response in less than 5 minutes, so it helped. But still, I saw the value of giving the right people firearms, and it worked. Dozens of lives were saved. That's why I said we had less than 350 murders in that last year. The last time we had that was 20 years ago, inclusive of last year, that had a state of emergency. So you've got, unless you put systems, policies, units, which have not been done in the last year, you have to give options, and that fighting chance could only take place to allow that stand your ground work by a commissioner of police having the foresight and the vision to stop believing that it is a problem to give law-abiding citizens firearms.
And speaking of the SOE right now, how do you feel about it?
Well, I agree 100%. The SOE is required because, unfortunately, the state has been unable to come up with, within the last year, no unit, no system, no technology, no program, nothing. So in the absence of that, the government, and they were correct. If there was not a state of emergency, we were going back to 600 murders. That's why they keep calling the state of emergency, because every time that the state of emergency lifts, we go back to the spike in crime. Now, when you do the ratio, it equates to 600 murders per annum. So the government is forced to have the state of emergency as a cushion to prevent the blow that takes place, because the criminals have nothing to provide a deterrent. Again, going back to 2021, we had the Special Operational Response Team that put fear in criminals, that was able to stop 12 consecutive kidnappings, rescue the kidnapping victim, arrest the kidnapper, put an end to home invasion, extortion, because we had sought the Rapid Response Unit, the Emergency Response Patrol, body cameras, tasers, pepper spray, National Operations Center, social media monitoring unit, as a gender-based violence unit. We had hundreds of different unit systems, programs, technology that put fear into criminals, and we caused that rapid response in less than 5 minutes. If that is done, there's no need for a state of emergency. In the absence of all of these things that were shut down and dismantled for the last 3 years and none reintroduced by the Commissioner of Police, the government is left with no choice. If they don't have a state of emergency, we will lose hundreds of lives in this country.
No state of emergency. But some people would say in your time, Mr. Griffith, there was COVID. I mean, probably didn't have a state of emergency.
Well, I'm so happy when people ask that question. Because I didn't know that the criminals had a thing. Because if you look at United States, every single city in the United States under COVID, New York, Boston, Detroit, LA, Chicago, Las Vegas, crime was highest ever in 30 years in the United States. So I guess the criminals missed the memo of COVID then. When you look at Jamaica and Guyana, crime went up to the highest in 20 years in Jamaica and Guyana during COVID. You know why? Because when there was COVID, people were shutting down their businesses. People were being frustrated. Domestic violence increased. People lost their jobs. There was unemployment. It caused inflation, the increase in cost of goods and services. All of these things were byproduct to increase crime. So when people talk their nonsense, I guess the criminals in Guyana, Jamaica, New York, Boston, Detroit, LA, they all missed the training memo to say, well, COVID is what caused crime to go down. So those criminals, they missed that memo. And in fact, if that is what was the case, how come after I left and there was still COVID, there was public health regulations and there was a state of emergency under McDonald Jacob in October and November, it was the highest and third highest number of murders in the history of Trinidad and Tobago. So I guess the criminals changed their mind after I left. Come again.
All right. And in terms of the Police Service Commissioner, how do we choose our Police Commissioner? What do you think about that? Any advice on that? Or how do you think,
thanks to the PNM making a mess of it, we will continue to have persons that may not be the right persons appointed. And I'm not criticizing this commissioner, but I'll give you a perfect example. What we had before were international experts, qualified experts who would select commissioners all around the world. And when I was selected, these were foreign persons who did the exams, the assessments, the interviews, the mock media conference, the operational reports. And that's why I got 82%. Ola Christopher got 52%. She didn't come in the top 20. Lo and behold, the PNM decided to change the experts internationally who will not be affected, who will not be influenced, who cannot be intimidated, who are not politically appointed by a president who appoints them in the Police Service Commission. They changed it to the Police Service Commission selecting the commissioner. And that's how Ola Christopher was selected as commissioner, somebody who didn't come in the top 20 last time by experts. You come from 52%, didn't come in the top 20. You got over 30% less than others, and now you came first. This is the problem when the Police Service Commission has now been the body to select a commissioner of police. And the Police Service Commission, they have no training, no qualification, no experience in law enforcement at a high level. You'll have attorneys, you'll have accountants, you'll have somebody who left as a constable in the police service, in the present Police Service Commission. They don't have the training, qualification, or knowledge to understand how to select a commissioner or how to measure the performance of a police commissioner. So we have now collapsed. The only thing that can make sure we select the right person is to have international experts that will not be politically influenced, who have the capability to understand how to select the best person to be commissioner of police. Thanks to the PNM having these civilians who have no qualification in law enforcement, selecting the commissioner of police, that being the Police Service Commission, it is not going to help improve the standard of the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service.
All right, man. 10 minutes away. We have about 10 more minutes with Mr. Gary Griffith. Let's take some calls there. We're allowed 625-2257, 627-3223. Of course, WhatsApp us on 306-1065. You know, we conduct it here. All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Base, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon, Mr. Griffith.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Griffith, one of the downsides for me is, with based on you in assuming the position of Commissioner of Police, was the fact that you had a great deal of support. And I remembered that we told you on another radio station that, hey, just take it down. You're talking too much. Just take it down. Because, I mean, you benchmark your performance on murders, and you had a lot of murders on your command. But still, people had an expectation that you would have done well. What created that downfall where, during the COVID, when Dr. Ali said, listen, he wanted to talk to you because there was something between Westers and Zessers, and that was your downfall. Why? That is one. The second thing, do you really think that the whole question of the bill in relation to stand your ground, What model you think, because if the Standard Ground failed in many states in the U.S., what made you think that it would have been successful here? I await you.
Okay, sure. Okay, as a pity came off, and again, going back to that point, you see, that's the difference with myself. I am not for sale. I'm not a puppet. That is what is lacking in this country. Persons who get positions of authority. I became a soldier and an army captain by choice. It's not a need to walk. I became a minister of national security, not because of me begging the prime minister. She called me and she said I was the best person for the job. I applied to be commissioner. I'm very well off. My family left me well off. I have several companies. I didn't need a walk. I didn't need a job. So I stand on principle. And that's what is lacking in this country, where persons hold positions and they feel that, well, that man put you there. So you need, if you want to keep your walk, you need to adhere to what he says. Keith Rowley was speaking because of his ignorance, because he was ignorant in not understanding the laws of Trinidad and Tobago. And there was a situation where they refused to have a state of emergency to give police those powers of arrest in their homes, where you can enter your homes and arrest persons. The law was the public health regulations, and public health regulations only gave the police the authority to arrest persons in public, which was as stupid as it comes. And so let me explain. If 20 of you all decide to party in a house, the police couldn't touch you. If 5 of you all left that house and go next door to a beach and bathe, we could arrest the 5 of you all. That is not my fault. That is your stupidity as a prime minister with a stupid law. So if persons were on a beach swimming, I could arrest you because that is I had to arrest you because you were breaking the law. If 10 people are by their home in their pool, I could not arrest them. And you as a prime minister, so dotish, you didn't understand that. So if at this I wanted to be a puppet commissioner, I could have listened to what he said and start arresting people who went to their Mother's Day home for Mother's Day or whatever, start arresting people left and right. And then the same taxpayers would have had to pay tens of millions of dollars in damages for wrongful arrests. So I stood up to a prime minister. And let me clarify, you know, we love to copy the United States, the same United States in like 2018 or so. During the same COVID, 19 or 20 police chiefs told the then president, you need to stay quiet because you're affecting the security of my state or my city or my county. And that is the kind of commissioner you need. You don't need a commissioner who's a yes person. So, sir, if I did not do what I did, I would have been a puppet commissioner. I stand firm on principle. And that is why I could walk proud through anywhere in the country because I did the right thing. I stood up. There's something called an illegal order. And if you're a commissioner, chief of defense staff, you have to resent an illegal order from anybody, inclusive of the president or the prime minister. I hope that educates you. As it pertains to the Stand Your Ground, it is not that we are given weapons willy-nilly like the United States. There's a stringent process. 0.05% of the population have firearms. So this nonsense about people panicking about persons having firearms. If I gave out 4,000 and not one was lost, stolen, or used for a crime, but dozens of lives were saved, you have a problem with that? So it shows that if you have the Stand Your Ground is to make sure we have situations that you have your firearm, you shoot at somebody who breaks into your home, and now the police are seizing your firearm and questioning you as if you broke the law. And now you are second guessing how to defend yourself and your family. No, when I spoke about one shot, one kill, even the police had that problem. Police were reluctant to fire persons who were firing at them. I say, somebody firing at you all, head or chest, one shot, one kill. Because do not shoot at my police officers. Thankfully, in my 3 years, not one officer was killed because we took the fight to the criminals. Officers have lost their lives because they feel reluctant again. So that is the value of the Stand Your Ground. Do it to them before they do it to you within the law.
Hello? All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Base, and good afternoon to the former Commissioner of Police, Mr. Griffith. Mr. Griffith, could you explain to me, I as a citizen, this program that during your tenure as Commissioner of Police, the abbreviation is ISOS, I Support Our Service. And it is alleged that when the businessman made a contribution to that ISOS program, then it is alleged that then they would be entitled to a firearm. Could you explain as a layman how this was this ISOS program was conducted? Listen over.
Yeah, sure. What I love is this country. Rum shop talk, lies, bacchanal, banal. It is alleged. So if somebody says it's alleged that you're a child molester, then we're supposed to be concerned about it because somebody said it is alleged. The people who said that, not one name you could call, not one report made, because it was a lie. But there were certain police officers in the police service who were very concerned that I was cleaning up the police service. The same way I protected my police officers, I was busting through. Any police officer involved in criminal activity, I was taking you down. We had over $100 million in overtime corruption that I put an end to, with 250 officers stating that they were working 20 or 24 hours a day, 30 days a month, getting $80,000 a month when they should get 10 or 12. We had police officers controlling drug blocks and so forth. I didn't have enough evidence to arrest them, so I shifted them from the Indigo Martin and Senate Tobago, and Cedros and Senator Port of Spain, and took them away. As soon as I left, they put them all back to run their drug blocks and to control police vehicles, to escort criminals, and to go back in the overtime corruption. So there were criminal police officers who wanted me out. So they started pushing an agenda. They fooled the politicians because they wanted me out, and the politicians, so dotish, they used the word, just as the caller just said, alleged. No report, no witness, no document, no statement, but it was alleged. Trinidad and Tobago is such a backward country when people could just listen. Well, I hear so, you know. It was alleged, Gary. Well, people say so. Oh, God, get real. The criminals were doing that. And the ISOS is something that is done worldwide. What it was to ensure that persons who were involved in a certain community, businesses or whatever, the police, I was not getting a cent every 6 months from this government. And I had to see about 7,000 police officers, 1,700 vehicles, and 120 stations without a cent. So if businesses wanted to contribute in items, in assets, not cash, to refurbish a police station, to repair a vehicle, to fix an air conditioning unit, to assist in fixing a leaking roof in the police station, we accepted that. And that is done worldwide. And what you're getting in it? Thank you very much. Not one businessman could ever say that they got anything in return. Not one person could call a name of anybody that got anything in return. Not one person gave a cent to the police service. I support our services, what transformed the police service. You started seeing stations, you started seeing more vehicles, you started seeing when you entered the station, you felt better, it was cleaner, it was newer. Everything now has been destroyed because they shut down everything I did, including I support our service, allowing the law, the civilians and the businesses to work and assist the police service. You assist us, it upgrades our standard. They were providing printers that the police service didn't have in stations. They were providing documents. They were providing computers, things that they didn't have in the stations because the government wasn't providing and the businesses were doing it. And you had a problem with that. Now when you go to stations, they have no ink, they have no printer, they have no air condition, things are leaking, you have mosquitoes in vehicles all outside. Well, that's what you wanted. Well, you get it now. You know why? Because it was alleged.
All right, let me take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, Mr. Griffith, how are you? Right, had the energy to do the work. You were out in the field. You didn't hide in the office. I want to ask this. We have to call a police, a firearm appeal board, that if the commissioner rejects you, you can go to the firearm appeal board. Would you like to comment on that, please?
Yes, there is an appeal board, but again, it takes years before it is that you apply and you appeal, and then sometimes you go to court, and many persons have won because officers, commissioners before and after me, they do not respond to the applications, they reject the applications wrongfully, and they will go to the appeal board, and the appeal board would actually override what the commissioner has done because there's nothing in the law. So for all those persons, until the government changes the policy for the dinosaur commissioners not to give firearms to law-abiding citizens who are entitled, then your option is to have an attorney go to the appeals board and to state, listen, my wife approved it, my finances are good, I have no track record of DUI, I have no criminal record, I gave a certificate of character, my friends, my family, everybody endorsed it, I have a proper area in my home to secure it, and this man is not giving it to me because he says there's no threat to my life. The appeals board could very well overturn the commissioner's ruling based on the fact that those three comments being used by the police this time are null and void, and it is nothing that in the law that gives them the authorization to reject your firearm application based on those three requirements, which is you're not carrying cash, there's no threat to your life and all of these things. You are making up policies to reject me, and with that now, based on the law, I can go to the appeals board, and the appeals board can now overturn what the commissioner has done. But instead of doing that, I will strongly recommend the government needs to just change the legislation, allow commissioners, to allow a committee to be formed to ensure that no one person can have the full authorization to put to cause us the backlog that we have over the last few decades.
All right, man. People saying Gary is absolutely correct about the law about private and public space. Educate the public on this. Also tell Gary civilians don't understand military thinking persons. That is part of the problem. Do you think because of your experience in the military, you're so... They had a problem with your way of thinking and bringing it onto the police service. Do you think that was a problem?
Yeah, definitely. I think what prime ministers or certain prime ministers want is to have a puppet commissioner of police. Mm. Because let me tell you, that thing about that problem with Keith Rowley being ignorant and not understanding his own law. Because I spoke to the AG, I spoke to other ministers who are attorneys. I said, you didn't speak to the PM? And they said, well, Gary, I thought he would have known. He didn't know the man, but he was not briefed. But besides that, there was always that problem with the government. The government was also involved in pressuring me to do the wrong thing. There was a government minister that was trying to get me to hand over intercept equipment that only I and the chief of defense staff and the director of the SSC had authority for, to give to a police constable. That was wrong. That again could even be seen as misbehaving in office. And he did it with myself and the director of the SSC. And both of us were removed under false matters. They lied about the director of the SSC and said he was involved in bringing in illegal items. Remember that? They lied on Pastor Brong. They lied on Ulla Christopher. They lied on myself. They lied on the governor of the central bank. They lied on so many of them. So my point, the industrial court head. So I refuse to be pressured to do the wrong thing. And that is my military training. Most commissioners that they come through the rank, to them is like, hey, I never thought I will get this work here. So you see me, I doing what is required and toe the line. When you had commissioners after me, having 70 police officers be involved in a fishing expedition to look at, see if you could find corruption on firearms because a politician told you that. No politician could tell me to direct police officers to do an investigation. We had police commissioners after me, 70 police officers, over 3 years, 500,000 police hours, looking to see if you could find corruption with Gary Griffith and firearms. They couldn't find one thing, not one report, not one statement, not one witness. No one was charged. No one was arrested. Not one firearm dealer, not one firearm owner, not one citizen. It was all lies. But a commissioner is deliberately doing all that to show, kitty, Rowley, look at me. I'm trying to find things on Gary to please you. That is not the type of commissioner that we want. We need commissioners, just like chief of defense staff, you must be prepared to stand up and not agree and adhere to what is called an illegal command. And my military training taught me that. Commissioners before and after me, they lack that type of military training to understand that that person could be prime minister, that person appointed you, but I am not going to adhere to your order because it is an illegal order. When that government was trying to pressure me to target political opponents of the government to have them arrested, and I refused, I could have easily arrested them, when it was the plant-like substance in Kamala's home and the other things they were pushing me for. But I said, there's not enough evidence. I am not arresting anybody in this present government because there's not enough. Who tell me say that? And therein lies the problem. That is why we remember Brent Thomas was arrested because of the desperation by the government. Is a government ministers gave the authorization for the police officers to travel. Police officers cannot leave our territorial waters. That's how desperate they were. So my style has always been, I will do the right thing. And if I have to pay the price, so be it. I swear, I didn't swear an oath to serve a politician. I sworn oath to serve my God, my country, and the citizens of this country.
Well said, Gary Griffith. One more question before I go. The question of body cams. What is the problem with the body cams and police officers wearing their body cams in Trinidad and Tobago?
Well, again, it's old school. Mr. Guevara, Jacob, they even before me, they never saw it. I introduced body cameras for the first time in the history of Trinidad and Tobago Police Service, as I did with tasers, pepper spray, GPS tracking on vehicles, dashboard cameras on vehicles, making sure police vehicles stay in their area of responsibility. They removed all of that. They don't want systems to make themselves accountable and to measure their performance. And when it is I acquired those 1,000 body cameras, they were all being issued. They were all police officers were forced to use it in any operation, roadblock, patrol, or warrant. They removed it and took it back. That is how fearful they were of body cameras. And not the police officers, because I had to do a heavy buy-in to get police officers to realize, this is not to target you, brother. This is to protect you when the lady in the towel ball at all, you're too wicked, and they lie about you. It will protect you if wrongfully accused, if it is several people gang up on you in an area. What this commissioner has said has unfortunately been false and misleading. First, he said that the body cameras cannot, they could be turned on and turned off, so they're not good. Duh. almost 100% of all body cameras in the United States and Europe, police officers have to turn it on and turn it off, because there are situations where it might be a domestic violence matter. It could be a sexual assault on a child. It could be a confidential informant wanting to give you information. So you have to turn it on and turn it off. And you have, and what I did, I took the feed external of the police service because I didn't trust the police officers. I thought that they would have blocked and deleted certain things. This commissioner has a problem with me doing that. And if it is you have a problem, fine. But after 5 years, four commissioners after me, not one of you all could acquire one body camera. I got 1,000 body cameras in 2 months when I acquired the funds coming to the end of my tour of duty and got them all issued. 5 years, you still want to do an audit to ascertain how I acquired 1,000 body cameras, which, by the way, was $14 million less for the cost of body cameras that Earl Christopher was trying to acquire after me. And finally, he then said that he wouldn't get body cameras. I asked persons to type GTEC and Axon, and these are most of these body cameras are used by most police departments in the United States. So I guess all of those police departments are wrong, and Guevara is right.
Oh, boy, Gary Gifford, all I can tell you is thank you for being a true citizen, a patriot of Trinidad and Tobago, and well, keep on speaking out.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right, thank you very much, Gary Gifford there.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.